Recording.
Recording. Mr. Stoll is not monitor, or are you on this one?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm. Okay, so we are now on number three, informal interviews for Mr. Dennis White, DVM.
If you can just hold.
Okay.
There was some last minute changes with who's gonna be on the phone.
Okay, I apologize.
Okay, Dr. James, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Alrighty. Okay, this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Dennis White in case number 2271. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it in ARS 322234. Dr. White, please come forward and introduce yourself.
Dennis White.
Okay, thank you. Dr. White, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, these options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censoring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
I have nothing.
Anything new? Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Okay, Dr. Nosley is the lead. Would you please give us a summary of this case?
Okay. On October 28th, 2021, Jazz, 14 and a half year old female Australian cattle dog, was presented to Dr. White for oral evaluation. Based on his exam, an oral exam under anesthesia with teeth cleaning and possible extractions was recommended. Blood work was performed and the dental cleaning and oral exam was scheduled for November 3rd, 2021. On November 3rd, 2021, the dog was presented to Dr. Adams for an oral exam and dental cleaning. Based on oral exam and diagnostics under anesthesia, Dr. Adams suspected the dog had canine ulcerative periodontal stomatitis, known as CUPS. Dr. Adams contacted the complainant with her findings and a full mouth extraction was discussed. Complainant declined at that time and the dog was discharged later that day by CDT Beck. Over the next several days, the dog refused to eat. Therefore, the complainant could not administer the dog's antibiotics. Dr. White evaluated the dog and administered an antibiotic injection and an appetite stimulant. There was no improvement, therefore, carprofen and gabapentin were dispensed. On November 7, 2021, the dog was presented to an emergency facility where the dog was diagnosed with a sublingual mass with purulent oral discharge and severe dehydration. The dog was hospitalized for IV fluids and supportive care. The following day, the complainant elected to humanely euthanize the dog.
Thank you. At this time, Dr. White, I would like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. White, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present any information you believe is relevant.
Well, I think the biggest thing was, you know, when I initially saw the dog on the 28th, we tried to them out, very painful. You could see something going on in there, looked like oral mass. I usually tell owners that 50% of oral masses are malignant, but we need to do something about it. And so to start off with, pre-anesthetic blood work that day, make sure everything was looking okay, and just schedule it out as soon as possible. So after that, Dr. Adams saw the dog on the 3rd, diagnosed it with cuffs, talked to the owner. She declined the treatment of extraction, whole mouth extraction, for a 15-year-old dog, and I sort of agree that would be a little bit rough. But we still had to assess that this was a bad situation. It was not good. The whole mouth was involved, and did send it home. Could not do well at home. Could not get the antibiotics. I saw it back. It did have some more oral discharge in that mouth, cleaned that up a little bit, and gave it an injectable antibiotic. The next day, one of my technicians made contact and said the dog was feeling a little bit better. He was able to force some food down it. And so therefore I thought maybe everything was on the go. Up until then, I did not know. My biggest problem, is that the owner knew going in that this was not a good situation. And what happened after that with cups, I have to assume that the autoimmune type situation did not help.
Okay. Well, I'd now like to ask, if you're finished, if any of the board members have any questions for Dr. White.
Yeah, a few questions. The initial visit on October 28th, and you saw this lesion under the tongue?
I saw a lesion under the tongue very reluctantly because the dog was very
hard to see.
Painful. Yes.
But there was something there that concerned.
There was something there.
And you thought about neoplasia, as you said. So your primary concern is you've got a neoplastic condition in this dog's mouth, needs to be addressed.
Right.
Is that right? Because there, then, as the case progressed, there was no mass. Then there was a mass again.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to define this lesion in the tongue thing a little bit, because
I think that with the cups, mm-hmm. that was there, I think that the irritation to the gums itself and it went down somewhat and it came back up.
Okay. So comes up and then regresses and then comes up. As in a ranula or a cups lesion, what would come and go?
I think it's just the swelling of the gums.
Just the swelling.
Yeah, just the swelling. That's about all you can say.
You say gums, but you mean
the
tongue tissue.
The tongue, everything.
Okay.
By my understanding, that mouth was pretty poor
mm-hmm.
Under anesthetic. I did not see it.
Okay. Then on the 5th, November 5th, when the dog came back to you after having the procedure and you got the history of what was going on, I want to confirm that there had been no pain meds given or dispensed at this point.
I thought there had been, but none had.
But there weren't. That's what I gleaned from the record, that there was no pain meds dispensed after the procedure. And pain meds were, if I'm reading it right, not prescribed until 11-6 at the request of the owner. The owner then requested pain meds.
Yeah.
Okay. At that visit, when you were taking a look at Jazz, how did you assess the patient's hydration at that point? The exam, was that done in the room with the client or in the back?
I think it was done in the back.
Okay.
And it did not seem that bad at that point in time.
How did you assess the hydration is my question.
Just, you know, just looking, full scan.
Just observation?
Observation.
Okay. Then you made some recommendations. Were you concerned about forcing food and medication in this dog that has this diagnosis of this painful condition and just having a dental and its effectiveness in a post-dental patient and
yes,
force feeding?
You know, but like I say, but we also, you know, discussed with myself and a couple of the other technicians at the clinic, discussed this cups being a very, very painful mm-hmm. situation, but we had to do something.
Yeah.
And, you know, the client, the dog was very close, thought that she might be able to nurse this thing through.
Okay. I think it's a matter for discussion that we could talk about the cups a little bit. That really wasn't your diagnosis, and you didn't have anything to do with that.
No, I didn't, it was a bad situation.
Right. what was the thought process in prescribing Entyce? Other than the obvious, we want them to eat?
Yes.
Would you stimulate
an appetite.
Would you? Entyce, in your experience, is to increase hunger in the dog.
Yes.
Was there a thought process that maybe this dog is hungry but can't eat?
Couldn't tell.
So maybe if you stimulated its hunger?
Yeah. Yeah, used a lot of Entyce on these patients like that, and it does work. It does help.
Okay. So, given the fact that it had been 2 days that the owner reported no intake of food or water, and if I read the record right, the patient was febrile on this visit, did you consider doing any diagnostics? Any
no, I didn't. I figured the febrile situation was the infection going on in the mouth, and so therefore the antibiotics had not been given as prescribed, and so therefore, see if I can get that infection.
So you didn't consider hospitalization for supportive care and parenteral administration of medications at that point? That was not a consideration? Okay. And so have you seen the record from the emergency clinic?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and 48 hours later, it presented with severe dehydration and a white count of over 48,000.
Saw that.
2 days later. That's all the questions I have.
Dr. Jane, can you hear okay?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. Our respondent has a quiet voice, so I just want to make sure. Do you have any questions, Dr. James?
Yeah, and I think this might have already been asked, but I wasn't sure I heard the answer correctly regarding at the recheck examination. I heard that it was done in the back, but was a full exam done on the dog at that time, or was it more of a cursory kind of recheck?
Cursory type recheck.
And with the initial visit on 1028 where you were concerned about a mass, did you check that specific area during the cursory recheck, or were you not able to do that?
Are you asking me if I looked at the mouth? On the cursory, yes, I did.
I think that's what she was asking.
So when you did check that, I'm just clarifying because you may have already said this, but you did not see a mass at that point in time?
Did not see a mass at that point in time.
Okay. And did you look at any potential reasons for the breathing concerns that had been reported by the owner?
Just mostly, you know, post-op intubation, lungs and heart sounded pretty good. That's about all I can say.
And I understood that you did not recommend hospitalization at that time, but were you concerned about the increase in body temperature? I think we were at like a 103.5.
Yes, I was, and that was the reason I gave the injectable antibiotic.
Did the owner express any concern at that recheck appointment regarding the ability to continue to give antibiotics?
The biggest thing was that she couldn't get anything oral down the animal, you know, we talked about, you know, forcing it, you know, using the entice to see if we could, you know, stimulate an appetite.
Okay. And then my last question, just for clarification, I know you didn't feel that hospitalization at that point in time was warranted, but was any repeat lab work performed?
No.
Was any recommended?
I didn't recommend any, no.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have any additional questions.
Okay. Do any board members have any other questions? Okay. Dr. White, you may step back. I'm now going to have the complainant come down. Ms. Norma Jean how do I pronounce your last name?
Gargas.
Gargas. Okay. Would you please state your name for the record?
Norma Jean Gargas.
Okay. Ms. Gargas, I'd now like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Keep in mind that we have read the materials that you provided, and I'd now like to give you time to address the board.
Okay. Jazz was eating, drinking, hiking, running around, and doing everything right up until I took her in on the morning of the 3rd for the procedure. As a matter of fact, she barked at urban coyotes on the way there and jumped in the car herself. She was fine. She was a good eater and a big eater. The only thing that I saw what prompted me to take her in on the 28th, she had a lot of tartar on her teeth on one side, and I showed a picture of where it was red. There was no mass. We were hiking. I could see it was just red there. But then Dr. White said that it could be oral cancer. But then when Dr. Adams did the procedure, she called me during the procedure, and she said that there was no cancer, so there was no reason to do a biopsy. She said that there was cups and told me how to take care of the cups, you know, and she said you can pull all the teeth, but she said she would not recommend that, and I said I wouldn't do it either. She said at the time she wouldn't recommend that. But when I picked Jazz up that evening, she her breathing was funny and not correct at that time. And he said it was due to the anesthesia intubation. She drank lots and lots and lots of water that night. But the next day, I began to realize that I don't think she's drinking or she's not eating very much. She's putting her head over there, and I realized she's not eating, and she's a very big eater. She had had a molar and a bone graft and blood graft a few years earlier extracted, and she ate and drank liquid food later that night. I picked her up, then the next day she had green bloody snot coming out of her mouth, and I wasn't really, these big dangles, and I wasn't really sure what it was, and I couldn't get the antibiotics in her because they said give with food, and I called there, and I wasn't sure about the water intake at that point either, but she still had not eaten. And he said that it was okay if she went without the antibiotics, until the next day, if she wasn't eating, bring her in. I felt uneasy about that because I wondered why they didn't give her antibiotics before she was discharged, and why he wouldn't, with this guy green blood, it's not why she, it wouldn't be an issue right then and there. But in any case, when I took her in the next day, they took her in the back, so I did not see what they did. I was told, and it may be in the record, I don't have to look, that he had difficulty looking in her mouth. He told me that. And I wondered why you wouldn't try and do an injectable sedative or something if it was critical to look in her mouth. I opened her mouth right then and there because they had me to show me how to put the drops on her tongue, so I opened the mouth. So I don't know why they didn't have me open the mouth then. I was able to do it and get drops on her tongue. He said to push the pills and the antibiotics. He said, you've got to get these in her. But, and then the, so I was able to do that. But then he said the only way to take care of cups was to extract all the teeth. And I said, I would never do that. And he said, she did all right this time. And I was really shocked at that, frankly. Because I was in there on emergency, and I said her breathing was bad, you know, not eating yet and so forth, and so, you know, I was doing the drops, and you know, the next day she's still not eating. He had told me it was pain from cups, so I asked for something for pain in those cups and give her something for pain, because this is where I'm getting going to Tuesday night and to Saturday, where she's not eating yet, and I questioned her water intake. I did say that I questioned her water intake when I was in there on the 5th, and he said she didn't look that dehydrated. So on Saturday, you know, I was doing an enticed, and I blinked video clips, picked that up on Saturday night when she was just hovering over everything and trying, but she, like over 100 clips, she couldn't really do it. And when I handed her off on Sunday morning, when I took her into the emergency vet, I said, it's like her tongue isn't working. That's what I said to the tech that received her, and I'd already talked to them over the phone from my car because I couldn't go in there yet. Well, when Dr. Bernasco looked at her, I said, would cups do this? And on two occasions, she said to me, no, cups would not do this. And she said, and actually, the cups really isn't even that bad. She said that. And then she told me about the salivary gland being an issue. She said that she was infected, that she's started going to renal failure. She's severely dehydrated in critical condition, and you know, that she would have to have a feeding tube for days. She was, I left her there overnight where she was on a drip for hydration. She had already lost pounds of weight between the 3rd and when I took her in, and they weighed her at the emergency, but she lost pounds of weight at this point. She seemed off. You know, Dr. Bernasco said she wasn't sure that any of that medication, the antibiotics or the anti-inflammatory or the pain or the food was even getting into her system. When I took her in that morning on Sunday morning, I opened her mouth again, and I cupped water and I put it on her tongue like this, not where it would choke her, but down. So to get some water on her mouth, and her tongue was completely dry and the food was hard and crusted on her tongue. It was horrible. And so the food was just like sort of coming back out, and Dr. Bernasco said she saw that too. And that wasn't really, she didn't think that much of that was really ever getting in her. You know, she was going to have to go through so much. She said they'd have to balance her electrolytes again. She'd be on a feeding tube. She'd be on a hydration drip for days till they could get her stabilized. Then if she'd have to have general anesthesia again. She would have to, have this issue with the salivary gland fixed. She'd probably have a drain tube. Then she would have again, and it was just too much. She was already too debilitated. But when I took her the day before, she walked 4 miles on the horse trails before I took her in. She barked at coyotes on the way for me to drop her off. You know, I just, you know, it's just, she said that the, you know, and Dr. Adams said there was no need for a biopsy, that there was no cancer. but Dr. Banasco did say the cups was not that bad. And there's, I included in a picture that in the that you would have seen in there that showed, it had the anesthesia tube and it showed the level of the cups. And, you know, that's, she said cups would not do that. And, you know, on Saturday when I went in and got picked up the medication, Dr. White didn't talk to me by phone in person. An unknown female, I don't know who it was, just brought me the medications and explained cups to me yet again. You know, when Dr. Banasco said she took a syringe of water and tried to get it in her, she said most of it just come pouring right out of her mouth. It was really bad. It was a bad situation. I every day I was in touch with them. I called, you know, the next day right away with the Green Buddy Snot. When I went to take her in on the 5th, I called up there and they said, you can drop her off. I said, no, I need someone to look at her, a vet to look at her right now. I'll be there in 10 minutes. And, you know, something was really wrong. Something was wrong. You know, and that medication to stimulate her appetite was like torture for her because she couldn't. And Dr. Banasco said she could not eat. It's not that she wouldn't eat. She could not eat. She couldn't. So that's pretty much what I have to say. Does anybody have any questions for me? Yeah,
thank you so much, and we're so sorry for the loss of Jazz.
Thank you.
I'd now like to ask if any of the board members have any questions. You can stay right there for a moment, okay?
Just a couple questions. So before Jazz went in, there was no medications? Was taking no medications?
Before she went in for the procedure? She was taking a mild dose of a medication for a little bit of arthritis in her spine.
Carprofen, does that
sound
right? It could
have been it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she was taking a medication for incontinence. She started to be able to have a little bit of drip, and she took medication for that.
Okay.
That's the only thing she took. And they told me when I asked about that before I took her in, can she take those, and they said yes, but then I didn't give her any of that after the procedure. I just stopped that because I didn't think she needed anything in her system then. I just didn't give her either of those at the time. I just stopped all of that. But when I said to one other thing, Dr. Banasco, about the appetite stimulant, immediately she said, don't give that to her, it's cruel.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't eat.
So you've addressed this, but some more specific questions. Before Jazz went in for the procedure, eating fine, you said, acting fine. So there was no evidence of oral pain.
No.
Specifically, questions, drooling, refusing, dropping food.
No.
That mucus discharge like happened afterwards, pawing at her mouth, none of that prior.
No, I thought because she had so much tartar, because I didn't plan to clean her teeth unless there was some absolutely critical thing that would need to be done, but I just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The skin looked red when I saw it like under her, on the actual like tongue, like where it attaches, like
right.
It just looked red, and I thought that she might have had an infected tooth, because mm-hmm. when the molar was pulled years before, the way I found it was she had a cactus needle in her lip. I pulled it up, and I saw it was red above it. I touched it, and it bled, so I knew it was infected.
Right.
So that is what I thought what was happening there. That's the only thing that got my attention.
Okay, but no symptoms of oral pain prior?
No.
Okay. Now, this discharge that occurred after the procedure, and you described it, the ropey, would you call it infected pussy, not just mucus.
This That's what it looked like.
Creamy.
And it was really, you had to like pull it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really had to pull it and then there'd be more.
Yeah. But that could be the saliva. But
it wasn't, so it didn't look like saliva, it wasn't clear.
It wasn't clear, that's my question.
It was not clear, it was really thick and ropey.
Thick and ropey and dense.
Yes.
Color. Yellow, green?
Green, bloody snot.
Green, okay. Then when you took Jazz in, Did you relay that to Dr. White about that discharge that you'd been seeing?
The discharge was on particularly on Thursday, the 4th, and that's when I called in, and I reported that to them, that she had that. Mm-hmm. And that they said the vets are gone, and the person that answered the phone said, let me ask the vet tech. Mm-hmm. And the vet tech said, it's probably drool. Older dogs drool, and that it's okay if she goes one day without the medication, the antibiotics, one more day, and if she's not eating the next day, then call them up and get in touch with them. But I didn't specifically tell him at that visit that I remember. Maybe I did. I might have said it about the day before she had, but it should have been in the record. It should have been, because he said he looked at her with the vet tech that was assisted during the procedure.
Okay. So on that visit, did Dr. White come and take a history with you prior to Jazz being taken in the back? Did he come in and talk to you about what's going on prior to her being examined?
Well, I said that I wasn't sure about her water intake. Mm-hmm. Then.
But I guess what I'm asking is, this was a conversation between you and the doctor.
Yes, I reported that I was concerned about her water intake, mm-hmm. and she's not eating yet, her breathing was off.
And this was to the doctor, not the staff?
That was to the doctor, because okay. He came in the room with me, and then he said he's going to take
that's
her
what
back,
I, that's what
and
I'm
he
asking.
Left with her.
That's what I'm asking. Okay. No, I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Dr. James, do you have any questions for the complainant?
No, I think all of mine have been answered. Thank you.
Okay. Do any other board members have any questions? Okay. Thank you. You may step back. Dr. White, do you have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
Yes.
Okay. Please come forward.
On the day of the procedure, Dr. Adams did talk to the owner and recommended that biopsy be done. And it was I didn't think it was not there, but I did talk to Dr. Adams and the technician, and they said basically that whole mouth was pretty well. And with the, you know, kissing the ends of the cuts. That itself has gotten very, very painful. So I think that, you know, all in all, the prognosis at that day, you know, was, you know, saying the best treatment was extractions and wasn't going to do it. So therefore, we're sort of handicapped on treatment at that point in time.
Are there any more questions from board members? Okay, you may go ahead and step back as well. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Dr. Nosley?
Okay. So I think everyone would agree or should agree that this is not your normal post-dental procedure as far as the patient and the symptoms that Jazz exhibited. We have already discussed Dr. Adams, is it Adams?
Yeah.
Role in this and the procedure, but I do think it comes into play here because of the overall nature of the case. And I question the diagnosis of cups. In my experience, and I've had a couple of cups patients, if you think a severe case of feline stomatitis where the lesions involve the pharynx. They involve a lot of tissue. They involve the sulcus. There's all kinds of severe periodontal disease due to the cups. And we had a very good description of the kissing lesions. Well, you can have kissing lesions where the tissue lies over the calculus and you get kissing lesions. But that doesn't make a diagnosis of cups. You have to have much more going on. Now, this inflammation under the tongue, was that possibly? Maybe. But if we look at the history, cups dogs present in pain. Their mouth hurts. And they're usually drooling and pawing, and that's usually why they're brought in. Not because they just have bad breath and tartar. They come in because their mouth is so painful. We don't appear to have any of that. The radiographs, the dental radiographs, don't show any bone loss. Very, very minor bone loss, so we don't really have the periodontal tissues involved. The description by the doctor in the emergency was a mild case of cups. The photo to me looked like kissing lesions. Now I didn't see the other tissues of the mouth, but when I put that all together, I question the diagnosis of cups. And where that becomes important into what we're talking about here is Dr. White is proceeding as if this animal has cups, and in his estimation, this is a bad situation. Things are going bad, and it's all due to the diagnosis of cups. So I do think it's important. As far as the biopsy and that question, I wouldn't make a diagnosis of cups and extract dog's teeth based on visual. What I thought might be cups lesions, I'd want a biopsy before I extract it all. Was that declined? There's the question of, well, we thought we had oral cancer. So we don't have to biopsy anything because I don't see anything. Well, that's different. We do have lesions of cups in their estimation. We do, at any rate, have lesions in the mouth. That's what you would biopsy. Make a difference or not? I kind of at first didn't think that really mattered because we've already done away with that portion of it with Dr. Adams, but I think from listening to Dr. White, he was proceeding that this dog had cups and things are going bad because of it. So the bottom line, I think, is this animal, based on history alone, had to be dehydrated. And we really didn't have anything other than a visual assessment of hydration. No skin turgor, certainly no lab work to support that. Based on history alone, I would think we could surmise that this pet at this point was dehydrated. Febrile, that's another issue. Yeah, we've got a lot of inflammation in the mouth. Maybe that's it, sure. But maybe things are going bad too. So at this point in time, I would do blood work to find out the status of this dog, hospitalize it, IV, parenteral therapy. We can't medicate this dog, but we can in the hospital if we're on an IV. We can administer medications, and in my estimation on that 11-5 visit, that's what should have happened.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, at least the recommendation should have been made.
The recommendation, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I agree with you. Like, it is easy to say, okay, well, the dog's febrile, but he's got, you know, a bad mouth, but we just had a procedure. Yes, we haven't taken the antibiotics, but could we have an aspiration pneumonia? We've got, you know, other things coming out the nose. We were just under anesthesia. So at least offering up to work that up a little bit more, I think that was kind of a missed opportunity. And to your point, the dehydration, how many days was it that the dog hadn't had access to water?
and being febrile after just having COVID
febrile
and having a pretty high fever, like you lose a lot of liquid. So you know, those are those things that are kind of working against that poor dog.
Mm-hmm. Just based on history alone, mm-hmm. He cries for fluids.
Yep.
Yeah. It's.
This is Dr. James, and you know, I'm in agreement as far as I think more should have been done on this 11-5 recheck visit. I think the fact that we had a dog that was coming in breathing, you know, heavily of some sort, breathing abnormally, we had an increase in temp, we had not being able to eat, we had a lot of signs that said this dog really could have been very painful in addition to dehydrated, and we never really did address the pain in this dog either. So I think that would be my other thing is not just that additional diagnostics weren't done, but supportively the fluids and pain meds weren't really addressed at that visit.
Yeah, I agree totally. Pain management should have been handled at the 11-5 visit. The dog needed fluids, needed antibiotics, needed pain control, needed hospitalization, basically.
So I was just going to throw in there, and I believe it's true of most mammals, by the time you can see, visualize dehydration, it's too late. They're already too dehydrated. They're likely to die, mm-hmm. if you can see it.
Right, definitely. So based on history alone, we had to be dehydrated.
Yeah, if it wasn't drinking.
And that's why my question is about how was the hydration assessed? Were we just looking at the dog and saying he doesn't look dehydrated? I don't know that I've ever looked at a dog and made an assessment specifically about hydration by just looking at the dog.
Well, you can see the eyes sinking in.
Yeah, they're dry mucous membranes, but
downward spiral.
I mean, dehydration is a hands-on.
Right, and you have to your point, you have to have, like, there's different percentage guesstimations and percentages based on clinical signs, right? And so you don't see that, you don't start to see those clinical signs until X percentage. It doesn't mean that you're not dehydrated until those clinical signs are there.
Yeah, very true.
So to your point, like, mm-hmm. we were dehydrated, we just hadn't got to the point where we could necessarily see them, but we know that dehydration still occurs prior to seeing those clinical signs.
Right, and you get under 5%, you can. But there is dehydration present, is what you're saying. Yeah, agreed totally.
So do we have a motion?
Well, with Dr. James, you want me to go ahead and make a motion, or should I take?
I'm fine either way. I think you could go with what you have, if that works.
Okay, thank you. I see violations. I would make a motion under 32.22.32.12 as it relates to Rule R311.5011. Failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures by not recommending follow-up blood work to assess the patient's condition, failing to recommend hospitalization with supportive care, and recommending at-home care that did not provide for the patient's needs, resulting in further suffering of the patient.
Okay.
So
motion and a second. Any further? Sorry, did you have something, Dr. Jane?
Second.
Okay.
You should probably hear me say it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Okay, let's do a roll call, Victoria.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Motion carries.
So the board has voted to find Dr. White in violation of 32.22.32.12 as it relates to R311.5011 for professionally acceptable procedures. This concludes this matter, and Dr. White, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. And then at next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If there's any questions, you can ask the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore. Thank you all for being here today.